CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. Forest fire season is approaching in Canada. In northern Quebec, there are currently already two forest fires blazing, which began on May 11th. Natural Resources Canada is warning we could be seeing a season of extreme fires, and with it, poor air quality. One research group in Montreal, the McGill Center for Climate Change and Human Health, is teaching people how to use simple materials to protect themselves from poor air quality.
It's not just the slow warming of the planet, it's kind of these other impacts that happen, like extreme weather, flooding, heat waves, changes in infectious diseases, potentially like Lyme disease, wildfires, right? And these are increasing and happening more frequent with greater intensity with climate change.
That was Professor Jill Baumgartner, the director of the Center for Climate Change and Human Health. Her and a team of PhD students recently led their first workshop in NDG, teaching residents how to make something called a Corsi Rosenthal box. Here is PhD student Siobhan Carroll to explain.
Basically, these are just, you take some furnace filters, so anything that you can get from a hardware store that's a furnace filter, you can use some of those. You duct tape them to a box fan, and then you basically just use cardboard and duct tape to cover up the holes, make sure it's pretty airtight, and they're nice little handy fans that you can keep in your house. They're not super huge, and they're handy for filtering out particles from the air and viruses and dust.
The box, made from simple and affordable materials, can be effective for filtering unsafe air, according to the center.
Air pollution has a lot of really negative effects on your health, and especially when we have events like wildfires and there's a lot of air pollution in the air, it becomes extra important to protect yourself.
For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
We'll be right back. soul, build a series of walls and take the days easy apart like stomping wasps. From the lecture to confessional, from the lecture to confessional, it's gotta be around here somewhere. From the lecture to confessional, it isn't always at all. From the lecture to confessional, I can't always say it. And from the lecture to confessional,
Cinéma Public, nous proposons une programmation en salle composée de films d'ici et de nouveautés internationales, de classiques et des pépites méconnues, ainsi que de...
Allô?
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 Papa Finn!
Baba Hen, Hena ho, Olo mi!
Olo ammo!
Ammo mi!
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless. My name is Mariam and I'm with Judy today.
Hello, everyone.
May unfortunately cannot be here today. She's a little sick, but we wish all the best for her. Today we have a very, very, very special episode. We are welcoming two Lebanese artists today on our show, Kenda El Ayoubi and Ahmed Naji.
Welcome.
Thank you. Kenda and Ahmed, they're both Lebanese artists who have been living in Montreal for 4 years. Kenda has been living in Montreal for 4 years, and Ahmed joined 3 years ago. They are, let me just pop up my notes real quickly. They are a happily married couple, and they have sung multiple events in Lebanon and also here in Montreal. They have specifically performed at a SPHR event called Songs of the Homeland, organized by SPHR, McGill and Concordia. And they have performed amazing songs from Fayrouz and really traditional childhood memories that we all have as Arabs. The songs are staples in our culture, and I'm happy that you guys came today, and we will listen to your songs and we will discuss about many things, and yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, me too.
Welcome to our show, Kenda and Ahmed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The more you talk, the more you feel comfortable. So,
how are you feeling?
Yeah. Oh no, we're doing great.
Great. Yeah, it's a hot day, huh? It's really
like 30 degrees.
It's like
Celsius.
I'm dying. So we can start off by maybe you guys can introduce yourselves a bit more. I tried my best, but I'm sure you guys have to have a say a lot. So you can maybe introduce your journey here as a as musicians who came and tried to, you know, continue on with their artistic background. We've discussed about this before. You guys also have some experience in Lebanon as artists.
Yep.
So you can maybe talk about that, like your journey coming to Montreal, things like that. We can slowly start, and then we'll continue on. Right? Yeah. Is that okay for you guys? Okay.
Oh yeah, that's wonderful.
Okay, perfect.
That sounds great.
You want to go ahead?
All right, sure. Yeah, no, ladies first.
He always does that. Puts me on the spot. So, thank you, Mariam. Thank you, Judy, for having us.
Of course.
So, my name is Kenda. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a singer from Lebanon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to repeat a little bit of what you said.
Yeah.
I came to Canada 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then my husband, Ahmed, joined me a year later. I've always believed that the singing and music and art are a very powerful message, mm-hmm. when it comes to reaching like people. And as a person who lived in Lebanon, mm-hmm. and who witnessed all kind of, you know, struggles and wars and peace and war live side by side in Lebanon, it kind of created this will inside, mm-hmm. of me to, you know, go out there, speak up, deliver a, mm-hmm. message that some people who are kind of powerless, yeah. cannot say. And based on that, I decided to start making events, participate in events, mm-hmm. for the cause. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about the cause, I'm talking about Palestine, and I'm talking about all the Middle East, because, mm-hmm. each country in the Middle, mm-hmm. East is struggling. But I have a belief that Palestine is the root.
Yeah.
Like, if things are not going well in Palestine, then all the region will be affected.
Exactly.
And this is what we've been witnessing for the past years. Century, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah, no. That's a beautiful reason as to why you want to express your pain and your emotions through music. And I love that. I love that you use the music as a form of expression. I'm sure you've witnessed a lot in Lebanon, and you've heard a lot of stories and all this. And sometimes there's no way to do it without just with music. So, and that's beautiful. What about you, Ahmed?
Okay.
Yeah. What is your how was your journey so far? What made you start? Oh, and I didn't mention Ahmed. He is a very, very good oud player. I didn't mention it. He plays really well. Oud is maybe you can explain it to the viewers, but yep. It's an instrument very common in the Middle East. But yeah, Ahmed, what has been your journey you so far from Lebanon to here, and why do you play this beautiful instrument for our beautiful ears to hear?
All right. Yeah, well, my journey with music actually mm-hmm. started when I was fairly young, mm-hmm. at around 13, 12, somewhere around that time period. So what happened, it's kind of a weird story. It was pure coincidence. So I was driving, my father was driving in the car, and I was sitting next to him, and we were listening to like a tape that had like a mix of songs, mm-hmm. modern songs by then, right? Mm-hmm. However, there was this one song, I don't know like which DJ or which guy, you know, put it there, but it's a song for Fareed Al-Atrash, mm-hmm. and it's called "Uddam Inaya Wabida Alaya Maktub Ligiri Wuhuwa Liya." So it's very dramatic, and I discovered that, oh boy, do I have the sense for the drama. And so I did a little research. I loved it. Like, I loved the tune. I loved the lyrics. I loved the emotions that Fareed Al-Atrash was trying to deliver to our beautiful ears. So what happened is, once I got home, you know, I started doing a little bit of digging. And as I was going through some of the old tapes that my parents had, I found another tape for Fareed Al-Atrash called Hikayat Gharami. And it was like 40 minutes. That was the first 40 minutes song. Because, you know, all songs are just like 3-5 minutes. This one was 40. And oh boy, was it a journey. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Every single minute of it. Never got bored for the entire 40 minutes. So that's when I decided, okay, like, I think I want to listen to more. Mm-hmm. So I did a little bit of digging, more actually, about Fareed Al-Atrash, and I discovered that he was called the King of Oud, or Malik Al-Oud.
Wow, okay.
He took that title from Turkey, mm-hmm. Back in the 70s or back in the 60s. So I was like, you know, I want that instrument. I want to learn that instrument. So I told that. I said that to my father. He mm-hmm. was actually pretty okay with it. Mm-hmm. He really encouraged me to it. And he was like, okay, if you pass your exams, I'm going to get you one. Oh boy, did I study so hard then. And after I passed the exams, I got the oud, and that's when my journey started.
Wow.
And it's been quite a journey. You know, because in Lebanon, music is not something that people really take as in terms of something like very, very serious, right? People mm-hmm. really consider it more of like a hobby or
exactly.
like a side thing.
Yeah.
I'm not really with that, you know, because I believe anything you want can be transferred into something that, you know, you can actually perform and get paid for it.
Mm-hmm,
you know, people
mm-hmm.
really forget the aspect of, you know, you can do what you love mm-hmm. and you can also receive
mm-hmm.
from it,
mm-hmm.
right? And that actually encourages in, you know, continuing that journey.
Mm-hmm, right.
So in Lebanon, I've had multiple events. I've played on multiple theaters in Tripoli, my mm-hmm, hometown,
mm-hmm.
and also the suburbs and other towns and cities like Beirut, Jbeil, Byblos,
mm-hmm.
all of those. And that's actually how I got to meet Kinda. We met through a musical event. It was somewhere in 2018, somewhere. It was summer.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I listened to her sing, and I said to myself, yeah, I should marry her, right? And it still captivates mm-hmm. me to this day. And because of the situation going on in the Middle East, she came to Canada, and then I traveled a year later after the sponsorship was done. And since then, you know, we've been life settling mm-hmm. down, adjusting. That really takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, we decided, like, you know, music is what brought us together. Like, we should continue and make musical events, or, you know, continue that journey, musical journey together. And it just so happens that Palestine was the events that were happening, and we decided, like, okay, we want, like you said, Voice of the Voiceless.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me until now, but mm-hmm. that's essentially what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're
yeah.
delivering a message for people
who
are oppressed and they cannot say what they want to say.
Exactly, who are underrepresented. And you guys are doing it through music. We're doing it through a talk show, and we're coming together today and unifying the our
the
both
artwork.
Our both our visions for this cause. So I'm glad that you have found your path in Lebanon and you came here and you want to continue it. So that is also amazing. Mm-hmm. And I see the drive and I see the passion of you too. And the talent especially will shortly put some songs of an event that you participated here in Concordia called Songs of the Homeland. But should we maybe put them before we talk about the event? I think we can put one. Mm-hmm. After that, we can talk specifically about songs from the homeland, I believe that's the name. Okay, perfect. And then we'll, so we'll do that.
Yeah. We're going to go on break as well.
Yeah.
So.
Passionate about issues related to intimate partner violence? Join Women Aware's annual general meeting June 8th, 2025, to learn more about how our survivor-led nonprofit has been working hard this year to address these topics from an intersectional lens. From providing tailored trainings to community-based events, we are eager to share with you the projects our community spearheaded and led this past year. A Zoom link is provided, and to join our AGM, simply sign up via our social media at womenaware.mtl or check out our website, www.womenaware.ca. Women Aware, by survivors, for survivors.
Im cabaret, au cabaret, tout cabaret.
The Comfy Cabaret is now open every Tuesday at 6. Forget all your fears, problems, struggles, and snuggle up. Relax, I've got all that's going on with local, new, underappreciated artists in a chilled out indie pop landscape. We feature artists every week talking about their stories and music, plus new releases you're sure to love as well. You can find your new favorite artist before the world does right here on the Comfy Cabaret.
Passionate about issues related to intimate partner violence? Join Women Aware's annual general meeting June 8th, 2025, to learn more about how our survivor-led nonprofit has been working hard this year to address these topics from an intersectional lens. From providing tailored trainings to community-based events, we are eager to share with you the projects our community...
Oh,
hello. Welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless on CGLO 1690 AM. So you are listening to Nassam Alayna Al-Hawa by Fairuz. And now we will be listening to Ahmed and Kinda playing Watani. And they will perform this exceptionally live on CGLO 1690 AM. So we're super excited to hear you guys sing live. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
وطني يا جبل الغيم الأزرق وطني يا قمر الندي والذنب يا بيوت اللي بيحبونا يا تراب اللي سبقونا يا صغيرو وسعدني وسعدني يا وطني
Thank you so much. That was I thought I was somewhere else for for the first few minutes that you guys performed. That Good. Was lovely.
That was the point.
That was a lovely.
Yeah, feel the emotions.
I kind of forgot that we had to continue with the show.
we could listen all
we could
day.
Listen
actually.
Like all day. Honestly, yeah. No, yeah. Thank you so much for performing live and. Yeah,
it's really nice, the song Watani, and it's really the resemblance with what we were talking about today, which is like the homeland, you know.
Yeah.
I think you played that also on the show as well, right?
That's one of my favorite songs. Yeah. For
yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's such an amazing song and has such meanings within it. So thank you for performing that, as she said.
Thank you so much, and we can continue on with the show with our specific questions,
yeah.
And as why you are here today, because you wanted to share your experience and with the event that Concordia had a few months ago, I believe, Songs from the Homeland, organized by SPHR Miguel Concordia, and you both of you had the had the chance to perform at that event. Mm-hmm. We want to just know how was the event for you? What was your experience there? Any interesting reactions you had from the audience and from anyone that was present at the show? Any moments that you want to share at the event that you enjoyed? And things like that, just to share your thoughts and feelings about the event. And we'd like to know more, and we're curious.
All right, perfect. Yeah, mm-hmm. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah.
So when it comes to singing to the homeland, I mm-hmm. always get excited. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you can see the fire in my eyes. That's what my husband tells me. Like, more than singing to anything, when I sing for the cause, it's like, it connects with the very human side
of
inside
course.
Of me. Yeah. Like, because the thing is, we're not talking, we're talking about resilience, we're talking about like culture, we're talking about us, you know. And since we're here in Canada, this is what's remaining from, like, we're not close to our homeland, so, and we're not even close to our parents, so we just have this tool in our hand. And it's not like we're stuck in the past, not at all. It's just that we value the presence of such an art. Like, and having it part of our past and having it part of who we are, of our identity. So I got very excited when I performed, and the reaction were really surprising, like because especially from Canadian okay?
You didn't expect
from people
that.
Who don't even speak the Arabic language.
Yeah.
Like, they are literally not understanding a word of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But they still, I was seeing, like, the reaction in their eyes. Like, I was seeing how emotional they're getting at some point.
Yeah.
And, like, delivering such a message and feeling like it's connecting with people who are not, they are just connecting to the feeling you're mm-hmm. trying to deliver. That was amazing. And I really felt at that moment, there is something that I have to do here. Like, mm-hmm. there is mm-hmm. room for, you know, for us mm-hmm. to share this with people who are really curious and yeah. really want to know who we are. Like, despite of what we see in what they see in the media and what yeah. they hear about us, we have, you know, this this role of yeah. of showing them.
We have a voice, and people are eager to hear our voices and 100%. What we want to say, even though they don't understand the music. I think the special thing about Arabic music and Middle Eastern music is that it is loved by anyone who listens to it. So you can be from anywhere, from any background. Once you are in contact with the melodies and the rhythm that is present in Middle Eastern music and Arabic music in general, it's something that you fall in love with. And you can feel it even though you don't understand the words. So I'm very glad that you felt that, and also the audience has felt your emotions through the music and the purpose as to why you came to the event and performed. How is that experience of introducing music to non-Arabs? Were you nervous to introduce maybe a music that isn't familiar to everyone? Did you think that there would be any maybe drawbacks, or were you excited? What was your feeling to introduce, because you were introducing Arabic music to Concordia, right? So you were expecting people from all different kinds of backgrounds to come. How did you prepare for that? What did you say to yourself before you performed? Anything, any thoughts on that?
I felt the responsibility, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah, like heavy on your shoulders. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I felt the responsibility, and that...
It's not easy.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
It's not
yeah.
easy. Well, first, we didn't know mm-hmm. what our audience was
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
during the preparation, right? So when we went to the event and, you know, we started preparing, getting ready, testing the vocals, you know,
yeah.
taking a look at what our audience is, I think there were only like 2 to 3 Arabs that we invited,
mm-hmm.
right? That
mm-hmm.
we knew. It was mostly, we were mostly, you know, attended by people from Ukraine.
Wow.
And, you know, they also have their own struggles, and they're also going through their own problems
mm-hmm.
and their own war. And a lot of them, they actually like connected mm-hmm. with what we're saying, right? Because
mm-hmm.
like in retrospect, or like in their own perspective, they also feel like they are going through something similar.
Yeah.
So yeah, when we performed, after we performed, like, people were crying, and they
oh.
and exactly what she said, they didn't understand the words
mm-hmm.
but the emotion got through
mm-hmm,
right
mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you listen to, like, sometimes even I listen to music or to songs that I don't understand the language
mm-hmm.
to, whether
mm-hmm.
that was Turkish, for example, or anything else
mm-hmm.
sometimes what we're after isn't exactly a word, rather it's the feelings, or it's the music,
yes,
right?
Because
mm-hmm. like, music surpasses every language
all
barrier
that, yeah.
right.
And so once the event was over, a lot of people told us, like, this is the first time they hear Palestine, like songs about Palestine
mm-hmm.
or songs in the Lebanese dialect, or songs from Fayrouz. And a lot of them, they have like parents or grandparents who are Arab
mm-hmm.
or like who come from Arab descent,
mm-hmm.
and they said, like, oh yeah, I know this song. I heard my father or my grandfather listen
yeah.
to it once. And, you know, they start living those memories.
Right.
And that truly, like, as you said, that's a responsibility, right? Like,
yeah.
oh, you are, you know, like, you are delivering a new message, basically, in a new way that person has never received before. That
mm-hmm.
person has never listened to an Arabic song about Palestine
mm-hmm.
Or to traditional Palestinian songs, and they're like, whoa, okay, now this sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the result we got, and, you know, that was the result that we intended for. And yeah, shortly after that event, actually, like, we also got invited to another one hosted by Ukrainians mostly.
Oh, wow.
And there were Ukrainians and Russians together, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, because outside of that, you know, conflict, they're not really in conflict here in Canada, right? Like, this is not what we're here for. We're here just to deliver a message, you know, like to get people, make them more aware and familiar with Palestinian music and Palestinian culture.
Yeah, it's amazing how, like, you explained the way that you felt the people were listening to you and how, like, they really felt this feeling within them and they cried. And that means you actually, like, as you delivered said, like, you delivered it correctly. And how did it feel?
It's mainly because when you feel something too deeply, people will feel it too, you know? Like, it's because when I stand there and I sing for Palestine, it's truly a different feeling. It's something else. I don't know. I feel like it's bigger than me. I'm singing for something that's way bigger than me. And I feel that pride, you know, and I feel that those emotion like fighting inside of me of the pain, but the beauty, but the war, but the peace, like everything, all the emotions, they come together. And that's why I was able to connect with them. Like I was able to see this emotion being reached. On a certain level. So, and the audience was great, to be honest. Very good listeners. I mean, it was
just connecting.
Such an experience.
It was connecting the communities. And as you said, like, there were no Arabs.
Yeah.
Like, mostly Canadians. And it's crazy how we can reach an audience, non-Arabs, just to be able to connect and understand the struggles of the others.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's not only a struggle for Arabs, it's a struggle for humanity itself.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are understanding that very, you know, quickly and amazingly. Kenda, you mentioned your motivation and your purpose in, like, singing for a larger cause, which is for Palestine. Maybe you can maybe elaborate, because you mentioned it in the beginning, you can maybe elaborate on how you came to that realization. You mentioned that you were living in Lebanon and things like that. If you'd like to, you can develop more on that. And the follow-up question will be, why would you think this motivation and this purpose is important for artists? Do you think artists should have this type of motivation and purpose to perform? And why is it important for artists, performers, to have some sort of purpose in performing, if that makes sense? Yeah.
I mean, any artist can choose his purpose.
Yeah.
You know, art is not only for just one thing. It's it's a big image, and it, like, singing for something, it's one piece of the puzzle. I would say I was raised in a household where my dad and my parents, they always used to talk about Palestine and how it's critical and how it's important to keep it in our mind. We were always reminded as kids. And I grew up listening. I remember the first song I heard for Fairuz, Madina Tassalat. And I felt this pride and this, you know, I felt powerful when I heard it the first time. And it grew with me. So, and when I was in Lebanon, I didn't dedicate all my time for singing because I was a little bit lost. Because for me, singing, it should be for, like, you should sing for a reason. And I didn't find my reason at the time. Or maybe I was afraid to express, like, why do I want to sing? Because when you want to sing for a cause, you feel the responsibility. And maybe at the time, I didn't feel like I can hold this responsibility on my shoulder. You know what I mean? So it grew in me, and as Ahmed mentioned, like the first event I sang, like not the first event, but one of the best events I would say that I sang in was for Ghassan Kanafani. It was to honor Ghassan Kanafani, and we picked like very like songs that are related to the cause. And when I talk about the Palestinian cause, it's a human cause. It's not just because it's in Palestine. No, it's everywhere in the world. But you know, because Palestine had the most exposure the past few years, so that's why we can focus on it. And because the suffering hasn't been reached until like a few years ago, you know. So it grew in me, and I participated in that event. And then when I came to Canada, I was a little bit absorbed by the life responsibilities, you know, the daily life, the daily tasks. And then when October 2023 happened, and I was so overwhelmed, I was so sad, and I was like, I felt like, what am I doing? Like, am I gonna just like be here in Canada, live my life and move on with my life and that's it, that's all?
Yeah.
And then I remembered that as long as I don't feel like I'm doing something, serving to some extent the cause or serving the people who are voiceless, I won't be like, I won't be myself. This is part of who I am. So I start like a year ago, like when they started way before, but we started hearing about fundraising not too long ago. So we were like, I was like, well, let's do it. I just need to, whatever I can do, you know, you can show resilience in different acts. For me, it's singing. That's it. It's my tool. It's a gift from God. And it's what I can use. And as long as I can use it for the good, then why not? This is how it aligns with who I am, my personality, and what I believe in.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is very beautiful.
That's very poetic.
Yeah, very poetic and very, very motivational, actually, to anyone who's also in that path of trying to help the Palestinian cause, but they don't know where and they don't know how to start. I feel like as long as you find your purpose and what you want to do to spread awareness about this cause and about this horrific situation that Palestine is in, through music, through arts, through writing, through journaling, through
talking to people, through fundraising. There's a lot of ways.
There are so many ways to make yourself involved in the way that you feel most comfortable and in a way that you can express your feelings and emotions through. So that is very beautiful that you have found your realization and your purpose in spreading the knowledge about Palestine through culture and through art. So,
It's such an amazing and expressive way. Thank you for sharing that with us and with the audience. We really appreciate it.
I think we need to take a breather after that answer, right?
Emotional. We need to ponder on that for a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go on break and then we're going to put one of the songs from the show that we talked about from Homeland. So have fun.
Enjoy.
XM is back for its 7th edition. From June 20th to 23rd, Carlton-sur-Mer will come alive with performances by Ariane Roy, Petit Beliveau, Clopel Gag, High Classified, Uri, Gus Engelhorn, Belly, Maggie Merlin, and many more. Don't miss the epic Beach Electro Night, the Artisan Market, the classic Mussels and Fries Dinner, the Water Skipping Tournament, and plenty other fun activities. Contact your friends and plan your Gaspésie getaway. Tickets and details at festivalbleubleu.com.
I once had a dream that I was eating a peanut butter and tuna fish sandwich, and let me tell you something, it was delicious. So the next day, I decided to make that sandwich. And in real life, it is disgusting. It is a disgusting sandwich. And the reason I tell you this story, pick up the phone, just...
Hi, this is Dreamscapes, and we want to eat that disgusting sandwich because we're a show about dreams and we don't think that dream sandwich is disgusting at all. You should be calling us to tell us about your dreams and your dream sandwiches. And if you do want to call in, the number's 514-848-7471. And we're on CJLO Mondays at 4 p.m. And we don't think your dream is weird at all. It sounds really good, actually.
Thank you.
welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless on CGLO 1690 AM. We're still here with Ahmed and Kenda. They performed a song.
It's also by Feruz Rajani Yahoo.
Yeah.
Most of this, I think now we played like three songs of Feruz by coincidence.
By coincidence. Yeah. I think the majority of the songs that was played at the event was from Feruz.
The reason isn't because like we specifically targeted Feruz.
Oh, really?
It just so happens that Feruz, I believe, is one of the only Lebanese and influential artists that sang for Palestine, because there are others who sang for Palestine, of course there's Farid Al-Atrash, there's Kulthum also, all of them, but Feruz being modern and being close to an age where YouTube is a thing and every all of these are a thing, and her son is also Ziad Rahbani, who also has his own influence.
I believe he was writing the songs for Feruz.
He composed and he did write actually a couple of songs. Then there's the Rahbani brothers. And Feruz is one of the few Lebanese singers, artists, who dedicated a significant portion of their songs to the cause. So there's Raj'in Ya Hawa, and the thing is, her songs, they can be interpreted as you wish. Right? Nassam Alina Al Hawa, she talks about Bladi, Watani, and it's up to you to decide which one is yours. Where's your home? Wherever your home is, you can sing for Feruz.
That's the beauty of it.
Exactly.
I never thought of it this way, that's so interesting to look at it in a way, listening to her songs and relating it to your homeland. And it's a very good way of expressing it.
No, thank you for sharing your performance at Songs from the Homeland. We have a few questions left. We have 10 minutes until the end of the show, and then after that we can enjoy the summer weather. But we have maybe one question for you, Kenda. I think, Ahmed, you already answered this question when you were explaining your journey as to why you are becoming the artist you are. But for Kenda, do you remember any melodies or any songs that made you feel the weight of your people's history? Any memories or any moments that you're like, oh wow, this is this song really, really touches me and touches where I come from and my country? Is there any moment?
Yes, definitely. Many songs. One of the songs is it's called Marrayt Bishawara, Shawari Al-Itz Al-Atiqa. And it talks about, it pictures a story of a person who was walking in the street of Jerusalem. And it talks about kids, children. It talks about how dreams get vanished in the war. It talks about losing peace, it reflects the emotion of how a person feels practically when he is in a war situation or he's insecure, he's an insecure place. And the children, and I will come to another song, which is Asfur Tal Min Shabak. It was composed and I guess written, I'm not sure, by Marcel Khalifi. And he's a Lebanese singer, but he also dedicated a big part of his work for Palestine. Asfur Tal Min Shabak touches me on a different level. When it comes to kids, when it comes to children, when it comes to those soft, innocent creature that are, they just wanna, absorb what's around them, and everything they're absorbing is bombs, war, women crying, and it's really, it touches me because it shapes a personality it's unjust. It shapes his personality in a way that he was truly a victim in this. You cannot blame a child ever. He was a pure victim, and you cannot even blame the way he's gonna grow up. So those two songs are it's the same case for anywhere in the world. Anywhere where there is war, children are the victim number one.
And children and women.
They are the one, the one who pay the consequences.
Yeah, the most vulnerable ones, they are the victims of horror and terror. That's beautiful. Ahmed, do you have maybe another, if you have one, I don't want to block you on your thoughts, or do you have like maybe you can answer the question, Kinda answered, or yeah.
Not quite. Mm-hmm. So the reason is Kinda, she's very patriotic, right? Mm-hmm. She has mm-hmm. this flame when it mm-hmm. comes to songs about homeland. So. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a romantic kind of guy. And my like the duty that I see myself having mm-hmm. as an artist mm-hmm. is to encourage other artists in delivering what they want. Mm-hmm. And I truly admire the sense of patriotism that Kinda has, and as she mentioned, like the way she gets excited when it comes to, you know, talking about the cause and singing about the cause, like.
But your purpose is a little bit different.
My purpose is different. I believe like music is very broad and it can deliver so many messages and it's hard for me personally like to pinpoint it at one exact field, but you know. I encourage it as much as I can, and I support it as much as I'm able to. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, but I'm not gonna lie. When she started singing for the cause, and you know, I could see her effort and I could see her passion for it. Even I got touched. Mm-hmm. Like I really connected with her in that sense. And like in the end, it is about humanity, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. No person ever loves or like can accept the idea of injustice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And being mm-hmm. oppressed and being oppression. Because I want to live in a place where I'm able to feel safe, when I can express what I want, where I can feel whatever I want to feel. Mm-hmm. So people who are going through that suffering and going through that, you know, war and the terrible occupation that's going, because it is occupation.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Going through that, they are unable to live the life that they want. They are unable to feel what they want. They are unable to express what they want. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're voiceless.
Yeah. Right?
They're just not allowed to have one.
Definitely.
They don't have access to be able to have the voice.
Yes.
It's our duty as humans to be able to say or to express how they're feeling, and
exactly
showing it to the
whether
world.
That was through a talk show or through music or through lyrics.
It's just that we tend to think that history will tell us the story, the whole story. It's just that Victor writes history, but like art, it tells the history. It's the collective memory of the people. It's the emotional memory. So if you want to know what happened, if you want to know how people were feeling, go to their art, to their songs, to their paints, to their to everything, and see how they are expressing themselves. You'll be able to really touch and feel what was actually happening. Not on a political level, but on a very social and emotional level, what was happening.
No, it's a form of resistance, I believe. Art. Art is a form of resistance. And people who listen or who view or who read art and culture, they are touched about the history that has happened in a more of a deeper level than just like reading facts or listening to a politician saying whatever he's saying. It's a whole other connection, I feel like, and that's the only way I feel like you can create empathy towards victims of war and people who have been suffering for generations. So I respect what you guys do, and hopefully you continue on in your journey of art and music and performance, and continue spreading your talent and you both of you complement each other, and that's what I really like. Mm-hmm. You have Ahmed, he's a instrumental performer. Kinda, you are a singer, so you really touch people on a different level, and I wish you all the best, and I wish you all the success here in Canada and continuing your journey and participating in future events. So that's about it. Thank you all for listening. listening to The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 6090 AM. And thank you, Ahmed and Kinda, for joining us today. I am Miriam and Judy. So join us next week, Thursday, 3 p.m., 4 p.m., I believe.
On The Voice of the Voiceless.
On The Voice of the Voiceless. Thank you, guys. Have a nice day.
Thank you for having us.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.